The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. It's taking stock. Let's rock. I thought I'd add that little bit to it, John. Any good? He's trying to make stocks issues a bit more rock and roll, you know?
Good luck.
So, anyway, had a good week in the markets, John, or not?
Up and down. It was a good day yesterday. I don't know why. It was a bit of a tough week. The Asian team was not a great update. But then yesterday, a lot of the stocks were up. Yeah. I don't know why. Focusrite had a big jump. For example, HVIVA had a big jump.
Nice.
But then 10 Lives had a big fall. So, who knows? There's no news on that one. It's up and down. Up and down.
Well, let's just see what the markets are looking like. Here we go. This is the London Stock Exchange live. And we got, look at the green screen. It's all good as well. Do you know what? Oddly, that's a flip of what's happened the last few days. Oddly, generally, the AMOL share has been, when everything's been falling, it's falling less. It is rising a tad. 0.15%, but it's not the best performer. It's the worst performer, but it's all green on the screen. FTSE 100 up 1.22%. That's a big move.
Those top three, Croda, Diageo, Burberry, have all had a pretty tough time recently.
Yeah, you say James's Place as well.
It's James's Place, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And let's look at some of the fallers here. But Sainsbury's down, Tesco, all the consumer staples there.
Well, they've all been very strong, haven't they?
Yeah. And, there we are. Maybe we're seeing a change, cyclicality here. BAE Systems, phenomenal performer. And to be honest, I can't see the world getting any less offensive as far as military and wars going on. It's going to get worse. So they're going to be in work for a long time, those guys. Marks & Spencer's down. They've had a good year. In fact, look at that. All the good performers here. Rolls-Royce. It's a flipping sentiment here, isn't it? Gone for those. 1.22%. FTSE 250 up to a fifth of 1%. Let's have a look. In fact, talking about that, in fact, someone just commented there. By all means, join in the comments. That's why we're live. You can join in. Hit that thumbs up button if you could. Subscribe to the channel, importantly, and download the Vox Markets app, voxmarkets.co.uk. So, Riffisoff is off. A regular commentator, thank you very much, fella. They said, I'm not a massive fan of Motley Fool, but when they say winners keep on winning, I think it's generally true. Stock performance is different, momentum is real, but doesn't last as long. Yeah, but what you need to see is literally the momentum backed up by fundamentals. And that's what we're looking at today a little bit. And, I use a sort of little bit of a picture here, but do performers keep performing? And I was going to call it Can Winners Keep Winning, but I thought let's do something else. Because these companies here, John's on a screen here, on companies hitting their 52-week highs. And, because we did look at last week at lows, wasn't it? And I tend to think, if you're looking at lows, it's fine, but your time frame's got to be longer. You just spend lots more time monitoring them before you buy them. Whereas highs, I think, if they're on a roll and they've come off a low and they're hitting 52-week highs and their valuation's still good, then they're good to go, it's a thing. But what stood out, look at some of these winners here. For Imprint, for example, John, that's been an excellent performer over the years, isn't it?
Yeah. See, it has good numbers recently. And it had sort of come off a little bit. But, do winners keep on winning? For Imprint is a very good example of a company that very much has kept on winning. That chart has been up and up and up and up and up for years.
Let's look at this. Do you know what? Before I go to that chart, this is the AMOL share. Look at that. It's broke 200-day moving average there, come back, had a little consolidation, but it's been a big rise from the lows of 26th of October. And now it's edging towards that 200-day moving average. And I did say yesterday, actually, if it can continue pulling up there, you may see this 50-day moving average cross that 200-day moving average, because that's coming down a bit, that's going up. That's a golden cross. That hasn't happened for years and years. And in fact, look at the last time the AMOL share broke the 200-day moving average, it came back down, it couldn't break it again. That was a downtrend, resumed downtrend. Now it's looking tantalizingly close to breaking that 200-day moving. Where are we? It's 749. 200-day moving is 750. 1 point in it, John. 1 point.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Anyway, so yeah, for Imprint. What is it? For Imprint. There we are. Look at this for a chart. Oh, that's not so good, but scrolling back. And look at that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's, you've had blips and they're obvious blips, one of them being the pandemic and one being, sort of difficulties we've had this year. And generally softening in sentiment, but that is a solid performer, solid and steady for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see the 58 off there. Yeah, absolutely. Look at that. Any time, pretty much, is broken down into 200 move average and broken back up.
Yeah,
worth buying on the break back up, because look at that, broke up there after the cash crash. COVID dash for cash crash, it broke up a little bit of a flirtation with it down again. Or yeah, maybe cut it there, but yeah, but generally going back has been very good. Yeah.
I think the other thing that shows you is that, you know, whilst you know you have these moments where what are very, you know, solid and proven to be solid companies have these periods where the share price does weaken.
And there's an opportunity.
You know,
I
would say not in all cases, but in some it's an opportunity. But there is, you know, always the tendency to just kind of say, well, the momentum's over and it's finished. And people will dump a share at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I say, that's an opportunity. And it always, you know, it goes back to that idea of just stay in the market. You know, if you've got a good company and you bought in at a good price and the momentum is behind it, you know, over the longer term, then just stay put. You know, another example in that list is Cranswick. You know, a company I've followed for a very, very long
time. CWK. You know, but, all right.
Basically, it's a pork producer. It said it began life as a pork producer. I think it's expanded a little bit into some other meat production. But you know, you've had these periods where the share price is weakened. But you know, look at that long term performance is very, very solid.
Let's have a look. Yeah. You'd see. Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
That's from 1999, and it started life at £1.20 a share, now 40 quid a share. That's a goodie, isn't it? Do you know what? I went back last night. I'm a bit of an anorak, right? Last night, when everyone got to bed, I was up. And I was thinking, oh, let's have a look at a modern-day winner. And I think we've sort of done this before. And I looked at, what's it called? War Paint.
Mm.
And I went back. I went back to... read the results, and of course, during lockdown, they're in a bit of trouble here. But they were like sub 100 million market cap, and I always say, you know, I want to catch something that's going to can scale, and generally, and in fact, if you look at some of the best performers recently, U Group and all that stuff, they're all sub 100 million. You go down too small though, and they can't really scale. But what's consistent was, essentially, the top line started going up by over 20%, you know, and then that started translating into, and the margins didn't really weaken. But they did have obviously a massive sell-off in the COVID dash for cash.
But then, you know, what didn't?
Yeah.
You know,
look at that.
Some companies didn't, but a lot of companies did. And
yeah, but look at this. Even then, though, right, they rose very strongly in 2021. Come back, and I couldn't see the reason why. Literally, it's almost just a sell-off. It was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 22, you really were starting to see some signs that inflation was going to be problematic. And, you know, companies that were reliant on, you know, supply chains and input costs and, there was a sort of souring in sentiment towards them. But again, you know, you look at the long-term story, you know, that wasn't a time to bail, it was a time to buy more.
Yeah. Well, it was 80, I think, 120. It was the shares an issue. It was about 84 million market cap there.
And it started
sort of improving. And so even that, look, even that, if it's a company you'd keep an eye on, just breaking that 200 move average, new highs, and it didn't come back.
One thing I'd say about, you know, the confidence to hang on when things look tough, and this requires, you know, a different kind of research. You know, they're simply looking at sort of headline growth figures, headline margin figures. You know, what is the strategy? How are management going to deliver it? Who are management? And what makes them the people that are going to be capable of building these companies into the things that we see today? And to potentially keep building them. You know, one wonders whether War Paint story is over. I suggest it possibly far from is. But you have to go and do a different kind of research for that, more qualitative than quantitative.
Yeah. But also, when you get... not sort of sector specific, but like I said, the supply chain thing, you know, was not specific to them. You know, it wasn't their problem. When you got a company specific problem, then, and it starts to drop the share price, then you may have to think, okay, it's not going right. But when it's a global issue, you think, well, they'll recover from this. Well, a weakness in the share price, you know, can help. It can be an opportunity, can't it?
Absolutely. But then, you know, when things, you know, macro events do conspire to hit a number of companies, you know, and you may think that so the wheat is being chucked out with the chaff. as perhaps in the case of war paint it was. But it's also a time when companies are put to the test, the management are put to the test. You know, have they built in the resilience to get through these tough periods? You know, what have they got that will, you know, the people are missing that will take them through the other side? Companies, you know, at these times of extreme economic stress, that is a time when bad companies disappear.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between a bad company that can survive a tough macro time and a good one and a bad one that won't? And that's where I say go back to the qualitative research, go to the idea of moat, you know, and really the sort of efficiency behind a company.
Yeah. And in fact, like I said, these tough times, they're good for good companies, you know, they really are. Because it's
going to get stronger.
Any sort of little bit of competition they had from companies that are not that good gets removed and they take more market share. And you tend to find companies, of course, become more efficient in downturns.
Yeah.
And when the upturn happens, then they're really, you know, the cash generation improves everything.
I was speaking to the manager of an investment company called the Edinburgh Investment Trust this week. Mm-hmm. And they follow a number of thematic approaches, but one of them is Darwinism. You know, the stronger companies will get stronger. You know, winners keep on winning. So, you know, and actually another thing they have is supply chain resilience. Those two things are not unrelated.
Yeah. So a company I hold some shares in, Time Finance came up with some news yesterday, and they're starting trying to break that. I think they'll still go sideways a little bit, but they are trying to break the top end. What I quite liked about this, I watched webinar with them, and they're doing own book lending, but they're quite conservative. They won't take on too much risk, and that's growing very well. And that has a compounding effect because of course you get the interest off that and the asset backed lending, and so it'll drop through to profit before tax, and you'll see this increasing margin. You get the improving profit before tax. I thought I like that. So in fact, it doesn't matter if top line growth will be sort of 15-20%, but profit before tax will get better because that's compounding effect of of own book lending, which is very good. So I quite like that. And I mean, they've been a decent performer. Like I said, they're on this list here. I mean, they're still. And in fact, if you look at what have you got? Your four EBITDA.
Okay, so basically, we wanted companies that are set to grow their profits, that have grown their profits. That's EBITDA change, and our forecast to grow their profits as well. So we want a year of positive earnings, more profits growth, and we want a year ahead of forecast profit growth as well. And we want them to be minimally geared, to have a strong balance sheet.
And in fact,
there's net cash, and 25% was my max.
You see that if you look down there, look at the forecast EBITDA change. I mean, is Four Imprints above 20%? Cairn Homes is 40%.
My pick of the house builders.
Yeah, smart metering. I know you should have got into that, John. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, you can't buy everything.
2 years back. A year back, when everyone was doomsaying about the houses, and you talk about Cairn, I thought, I watched that interview with you and Paul, and I thought, you get into Cairn, and anyway, but Time Finance is 39%. I think it's third on the list. So Informa forecast change in EBITDA. So you can see that going forward is a very positive thing. So earnings are going to grow there, which is quite nice.
Yeah, I'll tell you another really interesting one. You know, I'm basically just sort of looking at this list. It's a mix of, it's only 1 year highs. So these are companies that could just have gone to higher highs from over a very, very long-term performance, or they're companies that could have had a very tough time and we've seen, significant improvement in the past year. But another very long-term, strong form is Auto Trader. You look down that list, and, this is astonishing.
Well, it's almost a monopoly, isn't it? I mean, there are competitors on the market, but nothing. Mm. It's like the right move, the portal.
It's exactly what it is. So you call it it's a platform effect. This is, a very good example of, just the continual improvement of the products, of the services that they offer to the industry, to make themselves absolutely indispensable to the motor trade. And that's exactly what Rightmove has done for the estate agency business.
My father owned a car sales, and he said they're not cheap. But you've got to be on them. You've got to be on Auto Trader. It's like being, it's like almost like SEO pretty much. You know, it's got to be up there. And if you want to find a car, if someone's looking for a car, it'll come up in Auto Trader. You've got to. It's worth the spend.
But I'll tell you what's astonishing, because we actually had some numbers out today from a car Well, I say retailer, Motorpoint. They're more on the sort of well, the auction side of things. But those numbers were terrible. You know, and behind the problems are you know, massive drop in used car prices.
Yeah.
Over the course of the past 9 months. Well, Motorpoint,
they have car sales, don't they? They're not auctions, are they? Are they auctions?
I think they run some auctions. I think they run. What was that thing? We buy any cars? Is that theirs? So they sort of get, you know, getting their stock in.
Okay.
But
do they own that? Do they own We Buy Any Cars?
I think they do. Yeah, I might be wrong. It's correct me if I'm wrong. Pretty sure that's what they own that.
Yeah, I said recently, I run the spreadsheet on these, and they've broken out, and in fact, even though it's come off a lot, and I sort of agree with the broker, and they're saying, I think it needs to be cheaper, you know, because it's not going to come for a while. And I think down here, maybe, some, in fact, I put a sort of, what's that, not one pound, but I put an alert here, so I think it needs to revisit these lows. But oddly, it came out today, went down, and someone's buying it up.
Well, the thing is, I mean, again, you know, going back to, I said this interview I did with Jamie Constable at Singer the other day, you know, there are certain sectors where the sentiment is so poor that, you know, there's not a lot more bad news that you can chuck at them that's going to move the share price.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that, though. I just think they do say here, profitability for 2024 is now likely to be 5-6 million below expectations.
Yeah.
Even with anticipated
massive downgrade.
However, the board believes that the corrective costs and efficiency actions taken in fully. The thing is,
but people were expecting a downgrade.
Yeah.
So, you know,
headwinds will ease, they're saying, 2025, ensure they're well placed to deliver improved financial performance. But I do think, like, cyclically, this is one of the stocks, again, putting on your watch list. You know, when interest rates aren't coming down, you start seeing people go and buy. In fact, there's a very interesting thing on consumer confidence today. We'll look at that in a bit. But consumers are getting more confident because they've seen, when we were surrounded by headlines of 11.1% inflation, people just thought it was going to the sky. Well, now it's come down a bit. It's just the anxiety, I think, around that reporting constantly about inflation. And people feel a bit more confident now because it's not, you know, we've sort of hit peak inflation pretty much. And so, you know, people's a bit more confident about spending. So I think once you get industries coming down, then, and like I said, they are working on their costs. So again, as we discussed just then, they'll become more efficient going forward. And obviously, interest rates won't come back to sort of zero, but at least they'll be a lot more efficient when they come back, say, to that 2-3%, whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's a tough one to say. But I guess the point that I was making, or trying to make, was that even though this industry is a tough one, and even though, you know, the housing market has been pretty tough, your likes of Auto Trader and Rightmove, the platforms have been very strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I might be wrong about We Buy Any Car.
Yeah, okay.
But I can't.
Never mind. We'll make mistakes. Victor there has managed to get a picture of you are doing a hobby on the weekend, John.
Yeah, that's it. That's me. That's me at the weekend. You saw my coat the other day.
No, that's the full kit. We didn't see John in. But so Avon Protection, they report strong. What are they? The technology companies, respiratory protection equipment for military, that's maybe worth looking at. Like you said, you know, these areas where you know are not going to get any weaker, you know, over the thing. So that's interesting because they've come down a long way.
You
mentioned these before, didn't you?
Catastrophic acquisition.
Yeah. So what happened to you? You mentioned it before. I forgot what it was about.
They bought, I think it was helmets. It was a company that made helmets, and it turned out there was a problem with a product, a real, really bad product issue, and
it didn't stop bullets.
Massive write-off, something like that. Massive write-offs. But you know, you would have thought this company is in, you know, it's in a very good place. It's, you know, the sort of respiratory equipment is sort of market leading.
They say the helmets was a thing. Helmets and rebreathers.
Yeah, was it helmets?
Following recently announced contract from German Navy, partially offset by a modest decline in respiratory orders. The order book was 21% higher than prior last year. Cash conversion very strong, reflecting. I mean, look at those, because that's in a very strong area there. I mean, most of the obvious military plays, like BAE Systems, all that, they're gone. They've been going up for a long time. But this almost is a bit more subtle read across, isn't it? You know,
It wasn't helmets, it was body armor. I made
a body armor, that's right. Yeah.
Mistakes. They're front and center today. It's a good play on the defense market if you want a bit of defense at a reasonable price.
So what's the figures there? Not, have you got any access?
Oh, I'm looking at it.
Let's look. Let's scroll down. Got prelim. Oh yeah, it's preliminary results here. So okay, stat results. What's his net debt? Oh, their net debt of 85 million.
Yeah.
Do you know what though? Company. I keep saying this. Companies now with a manageable. In fact, like a saga. But companies now with a manageable debt. It's, you know, okay, it's a bit more than average, but a cash generative, I think, could get re-rated soon, you know, if they got good business, because that cost of debt will be coming down and going forward. Closing revenue. Okay, there we go. Revenue's down 7.5% for the year. Not a huge amount, but maybe they're improving their order book there. Has anything gone up? The closing order book's gone up, so that's a good sign of forward, I suppose, revenue. Yeah,
that's what you want to see. You know that the future orders are starting to come through. But it's a big old recovery play, this one.
Yeah.
Once a great company. Sort of bridge too far type stuff with this body armor acquisition, which went very wrong. It's just a long hard slog back. But these things do come back at some point. You know. Sometimes do. It will be a sort of management story. And again, it's looking behind the company and seeing basically what management are doing to get this company back on track and to where it was before, which was a great favourite of private investors.
Yeah. Well, I do like that chart. It's almost rallying a little bit above 200. Maybe it's coming back a bit, but it's rallied hard from the low. £6 up to £9.66. Those rallies from the lows can be really aggressive. That's 50% rally. It's like, you know, that was a bargain to have there, wasn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
Where's the
50-day
moving average there? Look at that. 50 days is there. That's a 666. Oof. That's a golden cross there. Look at that golden cross happening, don't you?
But, you know, we've got a big loss this year. But then if you look to next year, you know, pre-tax profits are going to 20 million.
Okay.
The pre-tax level. It's growth thereafter.
Yeah, okay. Let's scroll down. Some of the most read Splatby Capital, that's the point. The Chill Brands equity fundraising it's not a bad discount, but it's dropped. In fact, let's look at Chill again. I just think, in my mind, the play in this market is Supreme, I think. It is a Supreme operator because they are generating cash, but they're in the same kind of. So it's been coming.
Diversification is key to Supreme. Yeah, you know.
But
obviously, Bates is a great business. But it was good to see them expanding their nutrition business the other day.
Global Petroleum. This is a partnership agreement. Synergy East Med, and the terms look to explore energy opportunities in East Mediterranean. Well, that's a nice gig if you can get it. What is the market cap here? 1.66. No wonder it's rising by 17%. You know, anything will move down.
Too small for my liking.
Yeah. Corporate update on Predator on gas. What's this? Independent Technical Report and recover gas of 109 and 200 BCF, unrisked, there we are. So we're fully funded for 2024 commitments. Let's have a chart. This was that ridiculous stock that, you know, went crazy and came back down on that pretend takeover. Do you remember that? How does that
happen?
Nuts. What else you got here? Palladium, nothing there. Phoenix Copper offer. AFC, we're going to on the beach in a bit, which is like secured funding. This is from the Department of Transport and Innovate. They're looking at, well, it's a combustion engine. It's to decarbonize the shipping sort of sector, you know, help with that. And a consortium have awarded 670 grand design integrated proprietary ammonia cracker reactor technology with marine purposed ammonia fueled internal combustion engines. So it's helping that there. I mean, it's not a lot of money to develop that, but hence why it's. Do you know what's good, done very well of late? What's the other one?
Ceres,
yeah, that's the one that's really risen. They got 40 million from of these plays. Ceres Power. Oh, no, in bad. It jumped up and come back down. So it's not really huge there.
They've all got a lot of cash, haven't they? They've all got tons of cash.
Yeah.
I'm awaiting that part when I see that path to profits.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a long time. I don't know if the cash will make it there either. Following I can't say it's been sustainable. Holidays are too expensive. They really are. They're ridiculous. I don't see who's buying holidays at these prices.
The same people that were buying used cars at the prices they were a year, 2 years ago. You know, the thing is, you buy if you need something or if you want something, you know, and arguably holidays fall into the both want and need category. If you need to go away, you know, you'll pay whatever it takes, but it will reset. Those prices will come back down, as we've seen in the used car market.
Yeah,
and so you know, make hay while the sun shines. But you know, as long as there's a solid business behind it, and you know, actually, presumably the cost of delivering holidays has also got a bit more expensive. So it's all about the margin rather than the top line.
But now they're saying that because they said that literally a record following its best ever summer, the group began full year 2024.
Yeah.
With a record forward order book and significant momentum, this has continued into the peak booking period. 27% ahead of the equivalent year last year. Now, they're saying here the group has taken the opportunity, which may hit their margin, to price competitively and focus on volume growth to capture a share in the growing market, and remains confident delivering full-year profit in line with current market. You can remain confident as you want, but if you start getting that competitive market, the margin is going to thin, aren't they?
But they're managing the margin. You know, if they can price competitively, manage their margin and deliver on expectations, that is the trick.
That's the holy grail, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's
the market share, price competitively, and manage your margins.
Seems like what they're doing. You know, so they're on course for 32 million of pre-tax this year.
And what's the market cap there?
Market cap is 275 million, near enough. But you're still going to pay P of just over 11. You know, not an expensive share. And, you know, not indebted. Really sort of rapid growth. Forecast for several years to come.
That's I don't know what happened here. I was confused by what they did. I literally took a stake in them about here, and I got out, and they went down and rallied again. But I mean, look at that. I don't think this is going to look at that. The market today is not liking that competitive pricing. That's going to come back down. That is
great.
The opportunities in that. I believe what you said with the car sales there. Yes, you're right. You know, sometimes it's like stock prices. Sometimes you see a stock price going up, you never think it'll come back. It does. And the harder and faster it goes up, sometimes the more spectacularly it can come back down. And in fact, car prices are similar. When I remember my father saying they'd sold a car to a customer, he'd come back 2 years later and got his money back for it, pretty much, on a trade price. So they sort of retail, come out. That's how car prices were. They were mad, and people couldn't get stock. Now, that's like the holiday market. It won't be like that, though. You know, I mean, I think it'll have to come back down. I think prices have to go.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of pent-up demand at the moment. And, you know, and I think that seems a sensible approach. Take share. You know, take share, deliver nice holidays. You know, the fact is they can reduce their you know, they sort of turn the dial on marketing spend.
Yeah.
As well, so you know, turn that down to manage profitability.
Remember, we covered Helium One a couple of times. They had technical problems after technical problems, and literally it cratered. Now, anyone brave enough, this is a Helium Explorer, to jump in and nibble a bit at the bottom if you're close to the bottom. You've been rewarded. It's like 50% yesterday and 60% today, and in fact, it hardly features on the show. If anyone bought anything down here, I don't know why, you'd be brave or crazy. But that was like, look at it, 1.7. Look at that. That is a phenomenal rise. It doesn't seem it because it's just dropped off a cliff in the last thing. But in the last couple of days, look at that. It's gone from, it's a 207% it's done in the last 2 days. Sometimes they can pay off. So other times they don't, but I mean that's a very risky play. But it's literally they've had a bit of success yesterday. Mm. So they've managed to get the drill to total depth finally, or they've managed to get a drill working. So that's a good start. CTA Automotive, good news from them, up 23% actually.
And yeah, I don't know much about the company. Stock. I must admit, yeah. I don't know much about the car interiors as far as I understand it. So yeah, it's an industry. Look, one of the reasons you had this massive spike in used car prices was because new car supply chains, you know, started to become very problematic, particularly around the sort of flow of microchips. You know, mm-hmm. and most modern cars, have a lot of silicon in them.
Yeah.
So you had a sort of, you know, you had a real hiatus in new car production. Hence the demand shifting into used cars and prices going through the roof. So that's coming. That balance is going to shift now. That's good news for people throughout the supply chain, like CT Automotive.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I've looked at their balance sheet, and they are reducing. They did have debt, but it's they bring it down very quickly, ahead of expectations, which is good. I mean, and that's the kind of company I think would benefit anyway from having a little bit of debt. But it's not. But their revenue.
Well, it's a tiny amount of debt in comparison to its revenues. You know.
Yeah, yeah, 140 million revenue here, and I mean, obviously the margins because they manufacture is be quite slim, I assume. But nevertheless, they do say, as a result, the group expects a report underlying profit before tax of $8 million. So that's decent, that, you know, put that on, what, even a, maybe a 7, 8, 9, whatever. Even if you run figure, $80 million is too much. But I mean, you know, I'm assuming that's going to get better. But they say net debt in the position is expected to be $6 million, reduced from $9 million. So like, that's, you know, what's a 30% reduction?
Yeah.
And they said their healthy order book going forward, production tooling revenue, the board is closely monitoring the situation in the Red Sea, and to date, not experienced any material impact. They think it's overblown a bit.
Yeah, again, when I heard that from Jamie the other day, it's certainly what we discussed. You know, it's 10 days extra to go around the Cape rather than through the Suez Canal. So there is an impact on supply chains, but it's a 10-day impact, so much more manageable than some of the problems, supply chain issues we've had in recent history, in over the last couple of years or so.
Yeah, look at that. That's an excellent chart. There's very little volume. You can see there. It's a very bitty chart. But you can see there, broke the 50-day moving average there, and then you wanted to break highs again, broke up 200-day moving average, golden cross. Now you've got this, it's failed to close above that 70 pence. Now it's 75. You can hold that. That's quite good. So that's looking good, that chart.
Massive margin recovery here. So you mentioned it's low margin. It's sort of high single digits and improving. Yeah. Forecast to improve over this year, this current financial year and the next. And the shares, you know, they're on sort of six times forecast earnings. You know, I must admit, this company wasn't really on my radar, but I think it's one I'm going to have a peek at.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Oddly, when you get companies like that just improving, you know, everything improving from literally, you know, debt coming down, top line doing well, you know, profitable tax, and even if you've got, especially if you come from a loss maker position and into a profitable position, that's a re-rate, you know, there because, in fact, that I just got an alert on Hargreaves Lansdown, everyone. Recent high, it's not a huge high. But if you can see the bowing round him, let's get rid of a 50-day moving average there. You can see there, it's trying to get above that level here. What are your thoughts on that Hargreaves Lansdown now, John? Are you thinking, because I've seen a lot of competitors come in the market and people say that, you know, and they criticise that. It's funny, isn't it? The Markets Authority came out and criticised high fees for everyone. And then AJ Bell came out and said, we're repricing all our stuff. This was in the pipeline. Hargreaves Lansdown kept quiet. We're not. We give it loads of money from them.
It's the market leader. Yeah, there is competition, but it is the market leader. I don't think it's going anywhere. So, when that recovery starts to happen, I don't know. That, I mean, that's a small up, you know, steady uptrend for over the last couple of months.
Months. If they literally rise on results, that'll be a good thing, I think. But it's a really messy chart. It's like it keeps spiking up, and I don't know if there's own results or what, but it keeps spiking up. What you want is a spike up, right? And then literally go sideways or something. You don't want it to come fall back down. So give it a couple of days. You won't miss it. Give it a couple of days because you may have a big seller in there. A dark trace. I'm looking at a dark trace. That's 50-day moving average there. I don't know what. It's crossing that anyway. Okay. Yeah, so anyway, CTA is ticker there for CTA Motive. 50 million market cap. Looks like improving. In fact, I took my cars. AI is worrying me. It's like sometimes that AI thing joins our morning meetings, invites itself, in fact, it starts the meeting up, the AI note taker, inserting ourselves into our lives. It's like advice.
You can turn it off.
Oh, okay.
You can flush it out of your system.
It's always listening, though. There's a car. Took my cars. We get car adverts now. I normally have ladies in dresses.
Well, no, we're looking at car manufacturing. Also, component manufacturer.
Motor Point.
We talked about Motor Point, but you've looked at things.
I didn't look at anything cars related. We talked about Motor Point, the car prices, and then coming down and car and car adverts coming.
I think you're getting overly worried about.
No. Don't underestimate AI. That's the first time I've ever seen a car advert on Vox. We talk about cars anyway.
You've watched too much Terminator.
You can't watch enough of that. Watch it all the time in your combat gear. I tell you what I saw, actually, which is a bit of a... was a bit of darling, or did well, was Learning Technologies, bigger company, up 70... Hang on, it's not even the risers list, is it? What's the biggest, smallest riser? No, yeah, some big risers today. Echo Energy, 90%. Oh, so 60 is a 600 million. But LTG, which is like a mid-cap, pretty much. And do you know much about these, John?
No, not especially, no.
They do like, you know... Global leader, market leader in digital learning and talent management, software as a service, all that stuff. But they said not less than 560 million top line, in line with markets. They've got a bit of debt as well, though. That debt's coming down again. The board expects EBIT from continuing operations not less than 98 million, in line with consensus expectations. Just EBITDA. But again, if you look at, can you get the forecast up on these? Because I think I looked on a trading view, I think, and LTG.
Steady riser. Yeah. Steady riser. Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah, the forecasts have come back a bit, actually, on this one.
Well, they've got a mixture here, forecast there are, and 126, 185.
But the consensus has come back, which says to me that, you know, there's been some downgrades here.
Yeah. The average is 60% up. 130. So
Oh, well, it's price target, but when you look at the chart, and it's come off heavily. So that sort of tells you what's been happening on the earnings.
But look at that going up.
There's been some fair downgrades here.
Yeah, that's a crack. Well, they do a lot of acquisitions. Apparently, one acquisition. I watched a video with one of the fund managers on Vox, and that's a good thing. If you go on Vox and you click on the pages here, you know, on the side here, any interviews you can see. In fact, Paul Jordan, Dr. Paul Jordan, Amati, he was saying that they come unstuck because they did this acquisition, apparently, and it had problems getting clearance in America, which is one of their biggest markets for security clearance for some reason, because of technology and all that. And so that dragged the forecast and all that down. But they've sort of got around that and all that stuff now, but they are acquisitive. Mm. But like I said, the performance on this, you know, like I said, going back, it's been amazing. So from 14 pence, it's done to 240. What's that? That's nearly a 10 bagger, 20 bagger nearly, it's 15 bagger. And it's come back a bit. And so it's worth looking at companies like this if they're good businesses.
Well, it takes us back to that, you know, will winners keep on winning, will performers keep on performing question. And, you know, the answer here has been no. Then the next question would be why? And you know, is this like the, you know, the things we saw with 4imprint, Cranswick, where events have caught up with it, but they haven't actually changed the fundamental strength of the company and its strategy and its management and, you know, what they're hoping to deliver. You know, is that the same for this? And that's why, you know, you can't tell that from just looking at numbers. You've got to really dig into the company and it's, you know, understand its strategy qualitatively. And, you know, and something like LCGW, you could argue, you know, just looking at it, I'm just a very quick read. It's in basically, you know, recruitment and talent management for large companies.
Okay.
And we know that it's been a bit of a kind of crappy market in sort of recruitment. You know, we saw MindGym was another company that's listed in the UK that does, you know, sort of potentially discretionary spend for corporates. And in that case, it was around, you know, it was sort of, you know, staff education, staff, you know, sort of psychological management. So has it been caught up in what's, you know, a sell-off in a tough sector?
Yeah.
Or is there something wrong? You have to be doubly careful with companies that are very acquisitive, because acquisitions can help companies hide all manner of ills in their accounts. Not saying that that's what's happening here, but it is.
You are.
I'm not saying that's what's happening.
I'm really joking, Johnny boy.
Because I haven't looked at it. But it's something to be wary of.
I'm joking. Sorry, I've missed comments. There's quite a few coming. I didn't see them. Sorry. Let's catch them up. Matthew says, 100% winners keep on winning. Constellation Software, perfect example. 34% compound annual growth. I'm not aware of those. Else said, Time Finance, so undervalued, I could see enterprise value around 116. I think the broker has upgraded to 71 pence, I think, from where are we in at the moment? Yeah, 71 pence broker has got it there. Another company on the radar, great results, is Titan. Titan, John, you know about those?
Yeah, it was.
Informa, one more thing. Informa, I'm sure you now just post things to wind me up. Why doesn't the UK have any scalable listed companies? Only Games Workshop is an example. Even Arm now listed in the US. There's countless examples in the US. Why can't, say, Fevertree be as Celsius or more? I know, but listen, You are aware we're in a bear market, yeah? At the bottom of a bear market. And the last 2 years have been very hard. So, you know, many stocks are taking a hammering, absolute hammering. So sentiment is very low. Now, if we're still doing this show in a year's time, I'm sure your sentiment will be different because a lot of companies will be rallying by then.
We do have scalable companies.
Yeah, we do.
Of course we do. You know, you look at something like Ashtead. Mm. In the FTSE 100, well, for example,
in fact, the winners we looked at, Imprint, all those are Cranswick. This, you know, when your share price has got, you know, it's scaling because they're growing like a mech, you know, the share price is going up.
They're not the same sort of, they're not sexy, are they? A lot of the time, like, you know, they're not, they don't have that sort of tech, you know, US tech.
We're a scalable pork business. Yeah, it's not going to get Silicon Valley excited, that one, is it? Let me just
Titan, by the way, is building materials, doors and windows, a ventilation. Very exciting.
You say we haven't got sexy stocks? Wow.
Yeah. One thing I was going to point out, just saw the back of some of the news today, which update from Wix, which is fairly good. We've had an update this week from Lords Group, which was pretty good. Rickability, another good update this week. Stelrad, Rads. Now there's an exciting business.
I know.
But this is a sector
that's radiated. Imagine if you become a significant holder of that business. You try to, you know, boast about that dinner party. Oh yeah, I hold on 3% of a radiator business.
I'd like to own 3% of a radiator business. Yeah. I mean,
does that warm the cockles in
my heart? No. I mean, the point is that this is a sector that's been at a rotten time because of the slowdown in the home construction market. Yeah, but we're starting to see some good signs. And slowdown in repair and maintenance, RMI, repair and maintenance as well. Okay. But we're starting to see some signs of life coming out.
I quite like that chart, by the way. Titan, I quite like that. I mean, it's come down. Look at that. It's bowled up and it over 100 million. It seems like that's a bottom there. It looks quite nice, that. It looks bowing around. There's a couple more questions here. Forgive me for someone who complains saying I talk about stocks, but if someone asks me about stocks, I'm going to talk about it. Daffa says, any opinions on whether SBDS or Silver Bullet is good entry just for now? I'm always timing entry badly. I'm thinking of just watching for the time being, albeit I have some spare cash. If I were you, they do a trading update, apparently did it last year, but I would wait. The more information you can get, it's rallied very strongly. Just wait and get more information. The more information you can get a company, you know, the less likely you are to make a loss. So it's rallied strongly. So, you know, I don't know what people expecting, but you know, it's, I think, wait for results. You never
have a nibble.
You can have a little. That's another good bit of advice. I can't advise you to invest in anything, but if you want to avoid the fear of missing out, very small amount, tiny amount. I mean, you're talking about an amount that won't make a difference if it goes up and down. And that way,
but keeps you interested.
It keeps you interested and takes the edge off the fear of missing out. It does take it off. I don't know about you, John. Whenever I make a new investment and say an older investment is a lot bigger in my portfolio, my new investment is the one I'm always watching. Mm. It doesn't matter if I got a tiny amount in it. So it does help take the fear of missing out. But personally, I would wait for results.
I've had a little nibble this week.
Have you?
A little morsel of pool bag.
Oh, a bit more, yeah?
No, I didn't have any pool.
Oh, you didn't have any, so you have HVivo, yeah.
No, I've spoken to that company a lot, and I'm kind of fed up speaking to them, and hearing all this wonderful news and not having any. So I thought I just wanted to point out why building materials, just sort of going back to that, sorry, jumping around. Brickmakers are looking interesting.
Okay, so...
Forterra. Ibstock,
Nickel Merce,
yeah.
You think they'll rally ahead?
I think there's a sustainable rally that appears to be setting in here.
Yeah. What else is Brickability? Nickel Merce, which is the other one you said?
Forterra. Forterra, we've got a new feature on the site. Well, it's new-ish. We've started to add a lot of broker research onto Fox. One of our research partners, Progressive, published a piece on Forterra.
Okay.
Where was that? 25th, yesterday. Right. I would encourage everyone to head over onto the site and look up Forterra, and you'll find that. Doing that, you'll find a lot of the other research that's coming up on the site.
Yeah, free broker research.
It's
Look at that. I mean, that's a typical example. Like, it hasn't, you know, it had a fake rally here, but you can say it's come down. It's broke up in this previous level of support now. it's almost in line with that of support resistance, but it's almost on that 200 moving average. So that's I'm not saying you know it's going to shoot off here, but yep. It seems that the bottom is in, and we've seen this on a lot of stocks. The bottom is in. We're not rallying crazily. I mean, off the bottom you can do, but it's not. We're not in the you know bull market yet. But you need this bottoming formation before you can start rallying, you know. And so that's happening with a lot of companies.
We've had a lot of pain.
Yeah,
Pain, but it's not as it. Yeah. You know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, there might be some downgrades ahead, but those downgrades now do appear to be largely priced in.
Yeah, well, there's talk about pain. There's a good couple of losers here. Active Energy, oh, that's a nightmare there. It's gone down, it just dropped 70% a day, right? And it's down, it's 800,000 market cap. I think it's almost a good night, is it? But they've been constructing this coal switch fuel cell plant for almost renewable stuff. And then the people constructing it said now they're not going to do it anymore. No, we can't be bothered. So basically, this is who is it? It's been done by Player Design, and they said to date these discussions have been proven to be unproductive. And PDI has now informed Active Energy that they're no longer willing to, or able to commit to either a future production date for coal switch fuel or future production volumes for coal switch fuel. This recent development is hugely disappointing for Active Energy, who have several potential customers lined up to receive coal switch fuel at the earliest opportunity. So that is a bit of a nightmare. Also, warning a little bit is Coral. They just they manufacture sort of plastics, this is a plastic injection, and another sexy company. They did an acquisition spree recently. It looked like they were doing quite well there. They did say now, anticipated revenue will be approximately 10% below. Challenging environment, all this margins also negatively impacted by deleveraging effect. Anticipate that profitability in 2024 will be below both management and market expectations. There we are. So that's not good. When you get downgrades, you're looking for upgrades, everyone. That's what you're looking for. In trading statements, look for upgrades. Anything else? Oh, just quickly on, let me just scroll down here. A couple of business stories. I don't know if you saw this. Here we go. Yeah, low inflation lifts UK consumer sentiment. We mentioned this. Consumer confidence rose to minus 19. Wow. That's buoyant. Minus 19 from minus 22 in December. It said inflation unexpectedly rose to 4% in December, but the peak was 11.1% in October. So maybe people sort of managing that. Maybe even people saying now they're looking at mortgage deals a while back and now they're getting a bit better maybe coming out. So maybe they're feeling a bit, you know, who knows. Look at this. UK halts trade negotiations with Canada over hormones in beef. So it's beef and cheese. And so there's now no deal between Canada and UK. I'm gutted because I often order, you know, Canadian beef and cheese. It's my favourite food.
I know we want to sell them cheese, don't we?
I know. In fact, this is the tale of it. This will be Remainers will love this though. Total trade between the two countries worth 19.2 billion. So it's, you know, it's decent size that, according to the UK, export imports from Canada worth 7.3. Exports to Canada is worth 11.8, so that's now 11.8 billion not being supplied. So that's it's a little bit worry. And
it doesn't stop trade, not agreeing.
No,
trade.
But it's more expensive, isn't it? You buy your cheese, and you know, you people. And I just say, I don't know about you, hasn't Britain, apart from mad cow disease, hasn't Britain got quite a good reputation for cheese and beef? I think so.
It's we have a good reputation generally for animal husbandry and food standards.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things. Funny enough, going back to the Cranswick that set it apart over the years. UK pork production is of a higher standard than many other.
Well, basically,
standards of welfare, animal welfare.
Mainly. Yeah, so they look after the pigs nicely, stroke them, and then kill them in a nice, fast way.
You know, like that.
Well, that's what it is. I find it odd being a farmer. Again, you find it odd sometimes being a farmer's upset that the animals are being killed by the way they do what
it's the way
killed.
they live and the, you know, I mean, the way they're transported.
But, I know that. But I mean, sometimes remember that back in the mad beef days, when these farmers were upset and all that about the cows being killed. What? You're going to kill them anyway. So they're like the pets to them. They're not. They were treating them like they acted like they're
acting. We're having a bit of a partridge moment here now. Let's move on.
Okay, and finally, it's catching up. Do you remember everyone said Tesla's untouchable? And in fact, it may be a good time to sort of start looking at nibbling the stock. Not yet; it's in a downtrend. But they do say yesterday, 12% it dropped off, wiping 80 billion off the value. 80 billion, isn't that bigger than any company UK listed in the UK? That's the value wiped with Tesla yesterday.
But
this in sales growth may be notably lower in 2024. They've been lowering their prices as well, so they get less sales, less margins, and the Chinese are coming, everyone. That's what's happening, isn't it? There's something like a Tesla share, boys, but
it's not just many automotive manufacturers are upping their electric car ranges, you know, yeah. whether VW or, you know, the sort of Japanese and Korean car makers, you know, and they're more affordable and more reliable and easier to service. And, you know, there's all sorts of things. I wouldn't buy Tesla. I just wouldn't. I mean, it's just not for me.
Tesla here. I can't see Tesla. It's there, I suppose. It dropped. Was that 12% yesterday? Yeah, 12.4%.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't buy a Tesla and I wouldn't buy the shares. So, yeah. Biggest company in the UK is AstraZeneca. She's £162 billion.
80 billion. I know. Tesla 80 billion yesterday. That's three quarters the market cap of pretty much that. That's nuts, isn't it? How big that is.
Mm.
And you got to say,
that's exactly why I wouldn't buy the shares.
Yeah, you got to say, with the amount of competition coming online, and people, you know, not everyone's been driving a Tesla. You know, there are other cars out there you can buy. Sorry, let's just finish off in the comments. Thank you very much for commenting, everyone. There's a lot of comments here. Mike says, W7L scaling currently in the US and international. IQGO scaling internationally. They are there, just smaller. YouGov too. There we are. Mike's giving Informa some examples. Informa, but I do like what you're doing. Informa, you can stimulate conversation within conversation.
Yeah.
Dagger, the mining companies are starting to move. This could be an early sign of recovery in the markets. China's also lowered the amount of which banks have. Yeah. Not only China doing that, the thing they're pumping money into the market.
Yeah, so big bazooka.
Yeah.
But there is a school of thought it needs more. But miners, it's been tough.
Okay, Graham says, Ceres joint venture with Bosch and Weichai for marine power has been stopped in current format. It was Ceres' big hope. Okay. Laconic, not a company I follow, but on the face of it, seems like pretty disgraceful behavior by Haydale Graphene Management today. What happened with those?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'll go to the comments if you want to look at that. Thoughts on Avon today? Oh, James, this is James. We just covered Avon. They said we've been underperformed, so we're going to screw the shareholders by resulting in our options. So we won't do. Oh, okay, resetting our options. Okay, Rockwood Strategic bought a stake in Titan in 2022. They've probably been working on turning the business around. And Simon Thompson tipped Coral Products 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oof,
it's not a good. Well, that's the trouble. If you're in a tipping game, you know. You can expect you know some to fall out of bed.
So they've given themselves a new options, by the way. New management incentive scheme.
Because the share price has gone down so far, they can't exercise the options they've got. Well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of options. You're supposed to get above that share price with performance. You know, when you just bring them down, constantly bring them down, it defeats the objects of performance shares. Have a nice weekend, John. What are you doing?
Busy, as always.
Yeah, we're doing what? A bit more information? Anything you can tell us?
Just
a nap. Well, I like a bit of this nap too. I may do a bit of that as well this weekend. Thanks everyone for tuning in. By all means, hit that thumbs up and like, subscribe, download the Voxmox app, and we'll speak to you next week. Have a nice weekend, everyone. Bye 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 bye. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.